In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is the Sunday before Nativity, so these readings are always read this time. And there's a lot in these readings. The begats are kind of hard to understand for a lot of people. But for me, the two things that I heard ringing out, especially because I just returned from a youth conference in which I heard things that truly were life-changing for me, and I don't use that term loosely. There's only been a few things in my life that have been really life-changing. Some things I heard and saw were life-changing. Okay, so I'll tell you first, what's kind of inappropriate about having St. Daniel here? Anybody know? What? It's not actually literally his day. He's not literally related to Christ in terms of the line of Christ, right? These are the fathers we're celebrating, the actual genetic relatives of Christ, right? Those of the line of Christ. We celebrated St. Daniel and our forefathers last week, meaning those who spiritually are part of our line, and yet we still can't help ourselves and we sing about St. Daniel today. But it's really not technically his day. His day was yesterday. We celebrated his day yesterday. And that also then was my son's first names day reposed. And I'd like to say in heaven. And I'd like to know that, he would know then that Daniel didn't really look like this when he was in the lion's den. He was actually an old man. But we show him young. But in heaven, he looks young. In heaven, all of you are going to look young. We just received this icon again from the monastery. It was painted for us. And we brought it to the monastery for 40 days. And then it was processed around the graves of the monastery, which of course includes Daniel's grave. And now is basically a family icon, which it'll be in the various houses for whatever we decide to do. And sometimes in the church for feast days and such. I wanted to put it in the center because, first of all, it's a very beautiful icon. And second of all, I've been thinking a lot about my son. So there. And because nobody can tell me different, I can do it. Some people tell me different, but I do it anyway. The two things that I wanted to tell you about today from the gospel in the epistle are, one, in the epistle it speaks of by faith, or through faith. Over and over again. When something's repeated, it's really important. Since we say Lord have mercy often, it must be really important. So when you see by faith, you better think, well, what is this talking about? What is faith? And then at the end of this gospel reading, Jesus, one of his names or one of his titles is given, Emmanuel, God is with us. And I connected faith and Emmanuel. But I connected it from the context of what I've witnessed these past few days about faith, about being a father. Not a father by genetic inheritance, but a father by how a person lives, by what they give to the world, by how they incarnate Christ in themselves. And that's part of the reason why I put St. Daniel's icon in this center, because he's technically not a father from the line of Christ, but he is a father spiritually. And so I want to tell you a story. And I've been trying very hard to make my sermon shorter. I don't know if I'm going to succeed today, because I didn't really prepare it except by making a few notes and thinking about what I wanted to talk about. And it's been in my head for the past few days. I'm going to tell you about Uncle Izzy. He was called Uncle by Father Moses, who knew him. Father Moses Berry is a priest, the first African-American priest, he says. There were other black priests, but he's the first born and bred from America ordained priest. He lives in Ash Grove, Missouri, on land that was formerly slave land, you know, where slaves were kept, and was eventually given to those same slaves. And he is the son of children of slaves. So his grandparents were slaves. And he talks about Uncle Izzy, probably great Uncle Izzy or even great great Uncle Izzy. And he was a slave preacher. A slave preacher is a slave who preaches, and that is not allowed. Because the masters didn't want their slaves to know about freedom. They misunderstood freedom in the gospel because, of course, if they kept slaves, they didn't know anything about the gospel, even though they knew how to read their Bible. And so they were afraid the slaves would hear of the freedom that the gospel talks about and that they would revolt. And so they didn't want them to read, and they didn't want them to know really about the gospel. They only they wanted to be Christian in a sense, but only in that, of course, they were going to give Christianity to these heathens that they were superior to. And so Izzy was a man of faith, was a man of great deep love. And so he preached to his people, his fellow slaves. And by the way, do you know when we say servant in the Bible, it's slave. We should never really say servant. Servant has the idea that you can pay somebody and they look like a butler or something. In the Bible, it's slave. We are slaves of God. And those who were slaves of men also considered themselves to be slaves of God, the most benevolent master, under whose slavery we are free, not in bondage. So Izzy preached, and Izzy was found out. And so his master hung him up by his wrists so that his feet barely touched the ground on a limb of a tree. That tree still exists on their land. And he beat him. And he beat him and beat him until the white of his bones showed through his back. Every single stroke, Izzy said, "Lord Jesus, have mercy." Or words to that effect. I don't remember exactly what Father Moses said he said, but it was basically that, basically the Jesus prayer. And if you know your Bible, you'll know that the root of the Jesus prayer is in the Bible, but not the exact words we use. We don't have "Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a sinner," in there. We have "Lord Jesus Christ, Son of David," or "Son of David, have mercy on me," "Lord Jesus, have mercy." We don't have exactly the Jesus prayer. But Izzy, because he was a man of faith, he knew the Jesus prayer intuitively, and he cried out, "Lord Jesus, have mercy," as he was being whipped. Well, it didn't kill him. He lived a long life. And at some point, his master repented and was contrite, which is pretty amazing, because it takes something demonic to want to beat a man till the whites of his bones show on his back. And he gave land to Izzy. He gave, I think, 150 some acres along a lake in the Missouri Ozarks to Izzy and his family. And that land is in Father Moses' family to this day. Now, Izzy was always kind to white people. A lot of white people weren't kind to him. During slavery, post-slavery, they weren't kind to him. But he was kind to them. And a lot of black folk would say, "Why are you kind to those people, those devils?" Malcolm X learned that the white man is the devil. And he converted to a type of Islam that basically said the white man's the devil. Well, Izzy didn't believe any of that. When they said, "Why are you kind to white folk?" he said, "Because I want to go to heaven." Pretty simple. So he lived by faith. Father Moses was brought up AME, a very kind of interesting term. It's an acronym for African Methodist Episcopal. And he had preachers from that church. And so he's sort of the continuation of that line. He's just the line in the true church. But he says, and I agree with him, a statement that you might find unsettling or even heretical. He said, God gave them their church. He gave black folk their church, AME. And they lived according to the gospel. Now, the church was as much as they could have. The Orthodox Church wasn't even in that area of the country. It was in Alaska. But even to this day, we do a really terrible job sometimes of reaching out to people. I mean, you walk in churches you might not understand a word that's being said, even at the announcements. But he said that God gave them their church, and they lived by God. They lived by faith. They desired God to save them in all things. And you can hear it in the old Negro spirituals. There's this dependence on God. And so they lived according to God. And he said, now this is Father Moses. He's the authority to say this and not be called racist. I'm repeating his words. And if somebody hears me, because they'll probably be put on the internet, they'll probably call me racist. They'll say, "I'm privileged, I'm this, I'm racist, I'm whatever." But he said it, and I'm repeating his words. He said that they lost it. The ME is a shadow of what it used to be. And spirituality among black people is a shadow of what it used to be. I'll aside a little bit. Do you know that in the 20s, the 30s, the 40s, the most intact families in the country were black families. Divorce was almost unknown. Single parenthood was not known very well. There wasn't much of it at all. The white folk were still having babies out of wedlock. And now, of course, it's turned. White folk are still having a lot of babies out of wedlock, a whole lot. But the black community is decimated by single parenthood. I think an estimated 70% that don't have fathers in the home. And so he says that they lost it. And they lost their faith. They lost their dependence on God because they started depending on society to redress their wrongs and upon the government. If you know politics, the Great Society from Lyndon Johnson and all that stuff. And certainly wrong should be redressed. Certainly people should not be forced to sit in the back of buses. People should not be beaten without recourse, without those that have beaten them be punished. And all the other atrocities that have happened to black people in this country. But then there's atrocities that have happened to white people too. If you go anywhere, there's atrocities that happen because people can be unspeakably cruel. And so wherever you go, whatever you do, you must depend on God for everything, like Izzy did. And like Father Moses has learned to do after a long sojourn in the wilderness. But he came back to his childhood faith and became an Orthodox priest, looking to God for deliverance. This is faith. And I would submit to you that Izzy is one of our fathers, or should I say our forefathers. Obviously, you and I were not of the line of Christ, neither was he, neither is the prophet Daniel. But Izzy's Christianity is the kind of Christianity we should have, where we forgive those who have persecuted us, and where we look to God for everything. That's living by faith. That's what we're talking about today. Now, what are we about to celebrate? Nativity. With all the stuff, fortunately, most of the commercial stuff is gone by now. I mean, radio stations are back to playing rock and roll instead of that weirdo Christmas music where they have somebody singing about, you know, Santa Claus and all that stupidity. But what are you going to celebrate on Nativity? You should be celebrating Emmanuel, that God is with you. Now, I told you this weekend was a life-changing experience. Meeting Father Moses, I talked to him on the phone a few times. Meeting him and hearing him speak with conviction, the life-changing experience, and some other incidents. But also wrapped up in that is the fact that I'm a pastor and I hear people's confessions and I hear people talk to me and I have small group discussions because we had those too. And I hear sort of a refrain, a constant refrain that's coming out of people. And that is, I don't know what my life is about. I don't know what I'm here for. I don't feel God. That's a very consistent theme. Here, there, everywhere. People have no idea what they're doing, or why they're doing it, or what to do next. And this is because they don't feel Emmanuel. God is with us. The one who created the universe and is completely unknowable to us. And because of our sins, absolutely, we can't see him or feel him. He chose to become like us, to be among us, to be beaten for us, to be crucified for us, to be blasphemed for us, so that we could become like him. So truly, Emmanuel is actually my favorite title for Christ. But to feel him, you have to become like him. You have to become like the Izzy's of the world, where you incarnate Christ in the way you live. Otherwise, it's all for naught. Nothing matters then. If you don't do that, we have to look to people like Izzy. Well, he wasn't an Orthodox Christian, but you know, there's this joke, he's more Catholic than the Pope. I'll tell you what, he's more Orthodox than the Orthodox. There's a lot of Orthodox that aren't that Orthodox. Don't you be one of them. You be Orthodox in faith, which means you live like a Christian, which means God is with you, and you feel God being with you, and because God is with you, you just absolutely must forgive this person. Not because anybody's telling you to, but because your heart says it has to happen. Because God is in your heart. And you pray for people because God is in your heart. And that's what your heart is telling you to do. You have to inculcate that in your life. And many of you don't have that in your life. There's kind of a surface understanding of God. I see it all the time, everywhere I go. So you have to, in some way, find your way by having the knowledge And I don't mean the head. I mean the heart. That God is with you. And the only way to have that happen, God has already done his part. Now you must do your part. And your part is to live by faith. And to live by faith is to, as Izzy said, be kind to white folk because he wants to go to heaven. And much more than that. I'm sure really the reason he was kind to white folk is because God was kind to him. And white folk are no different than black folk. They're just people with virtues and sins, with knowledge and ignorance, with intelligence and stupidity. So if you want to feel God, if you want to feel your purpose, if you want to pray and not feel like your prayers are just bouncing off the wall, if you want to encounter some problem in life and not feel complete despair because you have no idea how to fix it, and you just see it kind of going down, and you don't know how to make it stop going down, common despair that people have, then you have to live by faith. You have to have God be with you. He'll be with you if you'll let him. Now, if you live with prejudice or anger or lust or self-centeredness, God will not be with you. By that I mean not that he'll abandon you, but you just won't feel him. If you live with ambition for worldly things, God will not, you won't feel God. So Emmanuel will only be a word that you might know the definition of, but you won't know the reality of it. We have to find out the reality of God is with us by living as Christians, by looking to our fathers and our forefathers, whether they're in the church or not, that have shown us virtue. Now, I'm not telling you to go start reading, you know, books by Catholic or Lutheran theologians or anything. I don't believe in doing that stuff. But I do believe in seeing the image of God in everyone, because it's all there, and in benefiting from seeing that. So the problem is us. Problem isn't God. It's not God's resolve that is a problem. It's our resolve that is a problem. So we must in some way change the way we're living, change the way we're thinking. Let it be around the time of Nativity. Not because of New Year's resolutions and all that kind of stuff. I don't care if you start going to a gym or not, or go on a diet. God doesn't care either. What God cares is, are you going to live as a Christian? Are you going to live by faith? When you see something, are you going to pray about it? When someone harms you, are you going to forgive them? When something is difficult, are you going to go to God about it? Or are you going to just kind of live this easy life, which is actually very hard? I heard something at the conference. I don't remember who said it. Basically, this person said that someone had said in America, people are the poorest of the poor. Reason that person said we're so poor is because we're so lonely. We're lonely because we live in our little bubbles. We've got to get out of our bubble. So brothers and sisters, let's try to imitate Izzy, huh? Let's try to forgive people. Let's try to live with God with us. Of course, you got to be with God if God's going to be with you. That's the message of Nativity. It's a great message. It's overwhelming how beautiful it is. We got to listen to it and we got to do it. God bless you. Amen.